Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turn the Page, Season 4, Book 12 of Twist-A-Plot, Journey to Vertigo 5, by Megan Stein and H. William Stein. Yes, there is relation. Are you ready? Rhapsody? Let's go to space with
the
me.
The relation, is it between the two of them, or them yes. and R.L. Stein, or all yes. three?
Yes. Wait.
Okay, cool, yeah.
Wait,
great. Glad we cleared that up.
all three of the things you said, or all three of them are related? Because
yes,
by marriage they are now all related. Otherwise, we have a little bit of a problem here.
Yeah, I just meant if I had to draw a family tree, I would be including yes. all of them.
Yeah. it's I think H. William Stein is the brother. I can't remember which one of them's related, but I think maybe H. William Stein is the brother of R.L. Stein, and H. William Stein and Megan Stein are married. But they wrote two other books in the Twist-A-Plot series, and they were unhinged, and I especially really liked the first one, but they're not afraid to go there. They're willing to say what other authors won't, because it's just nuts.
They seem like the most likely, the most viable opportunity for us in the Twist-A-Plot series to be picked up by tongs and inserted on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Like this feels like their oeuvre.
I am not convinced that they didn't ghostwrite the book with the tongs, to be honest.
Oh, absolutely. They might have suggested it just like over a family dinner, as I've just learned that they have.
I have an idea.
Yes, H.
Oh, R.H., get in here. Who dropped the dog inside, left mud tracks everywhere? You know you gotta wipe his feet off. Sorry, M. You know.
No, they call her Megan.
That was Mom.
Oh, right. Wait.
The other M. See, this is the difficulty of when everyone in their family shortens their name to one letter and does not have a real first name. But
thankfully, H. William avoided that by having also a backup first name just in case. That's for forms.
Break glass in case of naming emergency is right there. But yeah, Journey to Vertigo 5, as it sounds, is seemingly quite a sci-fi, featuring some stormy troopers on the front.
Non-copyright infringing stormy troopers.
Yeah, I think that that's the thing. We were talking a little bit about it before we started recording, but I think that, yeah, they have a lot of stormtrooper vibe. They're okay, the obvious, let's rip the band-aid off. These look nothing like Darth Vader.
Not at all.
Everyone needs to stop saying that. These look nothing like Darth Vader on the cover here.
Walk down the street, every single person I walk past is having a conversation with another person about how much these look like Darth Vader, and I've got to tell them individually, excuse me, madam, sir, stop, you're wrong. That's not the case.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, I walk down the street and everyone I look at looks more like Darth Vader than these people do. But they kind of look like, if they did look like Darth Vader, which they don't, and you are frankly, you need to be...
You're crazy for saying so, and everyone's talking about it.
Everyone's talking about how off base you are by saying that, and you need to contain yourself. But if it was right, they also looked like stormtroopers.
So if they look like Darth Vader, they also look like stormtroopers. But they don't look like Darth Vader, so don't worry about it.
We don't even need to go there. But if
I don't know why you insist that we dwell on this.
I'm sorry, I need to make it clear just how much they did not infringe on the rights of Star Wars.
No, not you, reader.
Oh, okay.
I mean you,
thank God.
The audience. I don't know why you keep insisting that we expound upon this, but they do not look at all like him.
Yeah, it's just, I wake up, I get a call on my voice answering machine. I think that's a phone thing. Mm-hmm. I don't use those. They say, hey. They look like this. And then they say, you really need to get off of this bit. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about the fact that these don't look anything like Darth Vader anymore. I stopped that bit a long time ago. And they're like, sure? Are you sure? Then what are you doing right now? And I'm like, oh, no.
No, this is a new bit. This is a bit about how Darth Vader doesn't look at all like these went on too long. And now it's funnier to make it longer.
That's true.
New bit. It's not even about Darth Vader anymore or how much he doesn't look like these.
It's true. But this is, as you mentioned before recording, absolutely a ripoff of the Tron poster.
Yeah,
100%. That's not up for debate. Everyone on the street is telling me how much it doesn't look like the Tron poster. Okay, let's move on. Everyone on the street I look at looks more like the Tron poster.
Everyone is just peering into a lit screen from the front.
Yeah, okay, all right. Our brief detour to the dedication page for Anne Stein, who yearns to travel. It's another one that's like not... It's like, I mean, I hope she does then, I guess. It's
does yearn to travel or does travel?
I hope she travels. I mean, I guess both. I mean, first of all, it's like if she doesn't actually yearn to travel, but she's telling everyone that she yearns to travel, it's going to, like, what? You're going to get a dedication to you in a book that says you yearn to travel and it's going to be really awkward. You're like, I don't.
This is how you'll be remembered. So I guess it's both
true. This is the most I've heard of Anne Stein. All I know about her, she probably yearns to travel. And I hope that she has.
I hope her epitaph doesn't say "who yearned to travel."
Oh no! That's so sad. It probably did. Oh,
the saddest story ever told. Anne Stein, who yearned to travel. It's six words. It's the same as Hemingway's. 4 travel. Anne Stein.
Anyways, you want to beware us so we can
end
this very long intro.
Okay.
Any comment that says this many minutes into the video, the actual podcast starts, it's getting deleted on site.
The podcast starts at 0:00.
It starts at 0. It ends at 8:00. Anyways, okay, go ahead.
Beware. Don't read this book from beginning to end. It is the year 2100. People would... I don't know how you would say this. 2113?
Yeah.
2113?
I think people in the sci-fi go 2113.
Okay. It is the year 2113, and you are about to leave your home planet for an accidental journey through time and space to the remote and unexpected world of Vernico 5. Something is very wrong on Vernico 5, and you stumbled onto its secret. If you can make the right choices, you may be able to save the entire galaxy from a madman's terrible control. The wrong decisions, however, can lead to intergalactic chaos and even your own untimely death. So be careful, future traveler, as you step into the distant darkness known as space. The stars are beautiful all around you, but they burn exceedingly hot. Wise visitors understand that planets are their only friends. Now climb aboard the capsule that will take you on an unforgettable journey. The journey to Vernico 5.
Worth noting that space is a proper noun and it's capitalized, so the distant darkness known as capital S space may not, in fact, be space, because there is a distinction there. But we'll
see. Yes, exactly.
I hope this is a space book.
We usually don't give a proper noun to space.
I mean, we should, though. It's pretty, like... But also,
it's pretty proper up there, yeah.
And also, wise visitors understanding that the planets are their only friends. Mood. Page 2. Rockets are zipping past your head, firing lethal drop-ons at you. The noise is almost deafening. But still, your hands are steady on the controls. Slowly, you push the firing button and blow up one Zorga rocket after another. We are knee-deep in this world. Fast.
That's the Megan and H effect.
Yeah. Hey, you're really getting your $4 worth out of this 3D Zorga Adventures vid screen game.
What? That sentence is a time capsule.
3D Zorga Adventures vid screen game.
But what? Also your $4 worth. I mean...
Yeah. But that's the question is like, did $4 for you to get it at home? That's... Yeah, I mean, you know, inflation and all.
That's 1950s money.
Yeah. But if it's $4 at the arcade in this time, like, that's, you're getting ripped off. So it really depends. Look at the score you're racking up. Whoops. The Tarnoid attack just turned your best fleet scooter into space dust. But you keep playing because you know that when the game stops, your Aunt Doro, the most sci-fi word out of the book so far, can break in on screen and tell you it's time to practice your laser piano lessons. What is happening? If she finds you...
Well, the piano lessons are too pedestrian, Rio.
What is a laser piano?
It's sci-fi.
Won't you burn your fingers?
Yeah. So it's about the screams that you make as you try.
You are the instrument, sweetie. If she finds you, she won't think twice about sending out the fourth unit robot to drag you home. You, as soon as you begin to hear Aunt Doro's voice, you run outside. Practice piano? No way! 3 exclamation points. You've got to find a place to hide. There's a cargo unit being loaded into a space freighter. And the data Nord on your wrist tells you the freighter won't lift off until it has 82 cargo units on board. So you leap onto it and sigh with relief. 5 seconds later, the space freighter takes off. Oh well, Aunt Doro, you say to yourself. See you sometime, ... I hope. I feel like we just read a whole book. I feel like I just read an entire book on this page. This is the most per page that we've ever. Oh god. It's like when you have a meal that's smaller than normal, but it's still like you're halfway through and you're like, what the hell happened? Why can't I eat anymore? It's because it's like this. Go on to page 4.
This expands in your stomach.
Absolutely.
I love it so much.
I really like this book already. All of it.
Also, I mean, unfortunately, this is one of the situations of, like, viewers, you must listen to me. Page 3 has possibly the best image I've ever seen of a boy just plaintively looking out the side like a porthole of a rocket as it takes off into space. And he does not seem to have any emotion about the issue.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of got is it the same artist, like the Shel Silverstein style looking artist as the last book? I think so. It's really special. I
may actually need to take a break at some point through this book to calm down.
Yeah, but it's also just like the absolute bait and switch that I thought the roller coaster of, oh, this is not, we're not actually on a spaceship, we're not actually sci-fi yet, you were just playing a video game, into laser piano.
It's way more sci-fi, into fourth unit robot to collect you and the Zorgas.
It took me 75% of the way through that page to figure out that, no, the world actually is indeed sci-fi for sure. But anyway, the space freighter blasts into light speed and you pass out. When you come to, it takes a while for you to remember where you are and how you got there. Then you hear a computerized announcement.
NorthSat coordinate EDT 19.7, underhold deployment, destination, Vernico 5.
You don't understand most of that, but you've heard of Vernico 5. That? You don't understand most of it, but you understand Vernico 5. Okay.
What's north?
Yeah, what's north? Couldn't what's computerized? What's announcement? What's coordinate? What's deployment? Destination. There's most of those words are much easier to understand than Vernico 5, but okay.
You can get it from context, buddy. I believe in you.
It's a newly colonized planet, probably pretty primitive. It's populated with a bunch of rejects, people who don't officially exist because they went bankrupt or lost their data Nords or couldn't pass the mandatory standards/understanding test. Wow. In other words, you wouldn't send your worst enemy to a reject colony, and you certainly don't want to end up there yourself. But what choice do you have? Suddenly, you see a button marked Jettison Escape Capsule. You push it, and a hatch opens, revealing a small escape capsule. Yeah. Small? It's tiny, no bigger than a tri-satellite call booth. Uh-huh. What should you do? If you're a daredevil, hop in the escape capsule and turn to 12. If you're not a daredevil, stay on the space freighter to Vertigo 5 and turn to page 14.
Rito.
Yeah?
We're not allowed to make this decision based on what we want to do for the story. It specifically says if we are or if we are not a daredevil.
That's true. We are a daredevil.
Yep, that's right. I fight the criminals in court by day and fight them in the streets by night.
Where were you going with that? I were you going for 14 or 12?
I wasn't going for either. What I was going for is we need to figure out the determinant between the two of us. That is to say, what is the most daring thing that you have done?
Oh, boy. Fact that it's taking me this long should make it pretty clear that this is not the answer.
Exactly, right? Like, I the most that I can think is, like, I've gone down an irresponsibly, like, steep hill on a skateboard. That is the most daring thing I've done, and I got quite scared, and I jumped off into the grass very early on.
I'm the opposite of a daredevil, for sure. But I was like, are we playing the daredevil character? I don't know if I would call our characters that we play in these books usually daredevils as much as they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're simple.
Yeah.
They're first thought, best thought. And I don't know if that is necessarily always daredevil, per se.
I do think that these would be uniquely, incredibly divergent based on the authors that we know as well.
Big true. Where do you want to go? I'll let you.
Do you
want
to be a daredevil or not? I mean, 12. You had an initial pull towards it.
First time.
I wanted to entertain the possibility that either of us had a fun story about being daring, but no. What we had was a proof perfect that we are not that.
I'm sure I have something, but I am so averse to risk to a fault. Like it is a flaw of mine how little I want to take risk. So I don't really have an answer. I'm sure I could find something if I dug deep and went to the danger zone in my brain, but not right now. So for now, you squeeze into the escape capsule and hit the go button to do the most daredevil thing I've ever done. The floor under the capsule drops open, and two nitroferro rockets blast you from the freighter. Okay. After burnout, you coast for a while and then flip on your homing signal. It won't be long now before a ship rescues you. You wonder...
what's that a snack on?
As you turn around in the snug-fitting capsule, your elbow accidentally bumps a button marked, "Do not push this button." Suddenly, a rocket fires and the capsule takes off like a blast from a gun. When you finally come to a stop, you have no idea where in the galaxy you are. And the only sound is the beep of your homing signal. But instantly, a giant spaceship is hovering over you and pulling you into its open port. There's only one problem. You've never seen a ship like this before in your district. And since there's no Intergalactic Council code markings, you're pretty sure this is not a rescue ship. Go to page 88.
Rito.
Yeah?
There's a button. There's a button that just has a label that says, "Do not push this button." There's no cap over the top of the button. It's not like indented into the wall. It's like a big red button that you can just accidentally tap that says, "Do not press this button."
Notably in a very small claustrophobic capsule.
Why did you install the "Do not press this button" button?
Yeah, and also if it fires rockets, it's not necessarily... accurate to say don't press this button. It's like it should be there's you probably
press
don't
this
want
button
to,
in case you want rockets.
If you press this button for rockets, it's I wouldn't say you don't press it. It's like if you need rockets, it should be pressed. But
yeah,
anyways, inside in the unmarked ship's docking area, you see a man approaching. He flips a latch and the door of your capsule opens.
1 second. What? As I open 88.
"I hope you got big pockets, kid,"
he says.
"I mean, come on. Why such a small spaceship? Do you expect to carry this stuff away in your pockets?"
As he speaks, he gives you a small, friendly slap on the face. For emphasis. What?
"Carry the stuff away in my pockets?"
you repeat slowly.
"I just can't believe my business depends on kids like you. Where'd they find you?"
the man says, slapping the side of his own face.
"Look, kid, you were waiting in the right place. I thought you'd know the deal,"
he says. Then he takes you by the shoulders and slaps both of your faces. And he walks towards stacks and stacks of large sealed plastic drums.
I gives you the stuff, and you delivers it. The buyer gives you a lot of money, and you gives that to me next week. Is that simple clear enough for you?
It's not only simple, it's perfectly clear. Whatever he's selling is illegal. You've got some fast thinking to do. Is this something you want to get involved in? Is there any way you can avoid being involved? If you want to play along and sell illegal goods, turn to page 34. If you think you'd rather not get involved, page 38.
Okay, Rito.
Yes?
Here's my pitch. If the illegal thing was like a thing that I like, and like it's a weapons or it's like trafficking people or something like that, like if it's one of the like really, really cruel, evil industry of this, wouldn't have fit in my pockets. And he's like, you can fit this stuff in your pockets. I think we're fine.
I think that is the case indeed.
I think we should play along. I think it's all good.
All right.
Page 34. I thought you'd provide the transportation.
You say, walking around the sealed drums.
Me? What's next? You want a fringe benefits and a company picnic? Hey!
His laugh rings through the cargo hold of his ship, but it shuts off fast.
I oughta blast you back into space without your capsule for wasting my time, kid!
All of a sudden, things aren't going your way, and you start to sweat.
How about this?
You say quickly.
You take my capsule, I'll take this ship. Make the delivery, and I'll meet you next week, just as we planned.
He smiles and gives your face a small slap again.
The meeting coordinates for next week are in the navigation computer already. You be there next week, or you'll be nowhere the week after, you got it?
With that friendly reminder, he leaves in your escape capsule. You wander the ship for half an hour before you can even find the navigation chamber, and finally, you do. And you sit down at the controls. If you're over 16, you already have your space vehicle license. Go to page 65. If you're under 16, turn to page 74 for your learner's permit exam. Are you over 16?
Oh, this is awkward. Yes.
That is awkward.
Yeah. Boomer. No, don't call me that.
All right, 65. You push a few buttons and flip a few switches. Suddenly, a mechanical arm reaches out of a control panel and gives you a mug of hot chicken soup. First rule of the galaxy, nobody should fly. Did I go to the wrong page?
No, this is it. It just gives you a mug of hot chicken soup. I like it.
I'm sorry, this didn't faze me because for some reason, this is always the first thing they do in sci-fi is like, technology, your soup is fast, like a microwave.
Make something warm and homey.
Yeah. First rule of the galaxy, nobody should fly on an empty stomach. So you drink the soup and afterwards you power off. In seconds, you're thousands of miles away from the man who gave you this cargo. And the navigation computer is guiding you swiftly to a predetermined destination. But you're still dying to know what illegal and possibly dangerous cargo you're hauling. So a few minutes later, you shut down the power burn and let the ship coast slowly while you go into the cargo hold to check it out. You try to kick several of the drums to see if they rattle, and some of them are heavy, others are not. But they're all sealed tight with an unusual electromagnetic force field. When you touch it, you get a painful shock. And if that isn't enough, stamped on the side of each drum in red ink are the words, "Do not open until Christmas." If you're nosy enough to want to open these drums, turn to page 68. If you think you'd better not be nosy about this stuff, turn to page 79. Our character would open it, but I do think it will kill us.
I think if we want to open it, it will be bad. If we choose not to open it, it'll be Christmas presents for orphans. Like, it'll be, we deliver it to the other side and they're like, oh, thanks. You know, the patron of our orphanage is, you know, really rough around the edges, but we really appreciate the gifts for the kids.
Maybe this is just like the new, like, way that they're sending bombs places. They give him the bomb and it says, don't open until Christmas. And it's like a big delayed, like by the time it's Christmas and they're like, oh, I have a gift to open. They're like, I forgot who I got this from. And they're like, oh, I don't know. Oh, shucks. I don't know who bombed me. You know, maybe it's that. Right? Maybe that's it.
I think not knowing who bombed me would be like sub 10. Like I have 10 more important concerns upon being bombed.
I would go for vengeance first. For sure, Marcia? For sure, for sure. Do you want to open it or nay?
I I don't really want to be nosing about it because I want to give it the possibility that it's
gifts. That's true. Children. 79. What? Christmas is a long ways off, and you decide you'll see what is in the drum sooner or later. Probably when you deliver the merchandise to the Intergalactic Council Police. Besides, you've got better things to think about. The rewards and accommodations you'll get for breaking up this illegal smuggling racket. You head back for the navigation chamber, trying to decide which is your best side for the vid screen... the vid screen newspaper photographs. Okay. Uh-huh. Are they vid screen or are they photographs?
No, they're newspaper.
But they're... I mean, but... Is it a still? If so, why is it a vid screen? Anyways, and guess what? You're right. You do find out what's in the drum sooner than later, sooner than you want to. 30 seconds after you leave the cargo hold, 5 of the drums explode, turning the spaceship into a jigsaw puzzle of a million pieces. The bombs were supposed to be a big surprise for the real delivery person. Some of the smugglers did not trust anymore. Unfortunately for you, you were simply in the wrong place at the right time. The 5 bombs didn't know they weren't for you. Next time, maybe you should put your nose where it doesn't belong, at least that way. Maybe you'll still have a nose to put. The end.
No, those bombs, it's not those bombs' fault. They didn't know what was up. No one told them that the plan had changed.
Yeah, entirely fair, entirely fair.
I can't believe we legitimately blew up.
Yeah, I'd like to say I can't believe it. But it also feels like we were going to get screwed over whichever one we chose.
Well, the thing is, like, I do feel like it'll probably be one of them is bad and yes. One of them is good.
No, yeah, I know, but I just knew we would pick the wrong one regardless. Yes. You would think that your line of thinking makes the most sense, and that's why it has to be wrong, because it's too correct. It makes too much sense. Yeah. So,
I forget. Anything I think is going to happen, I need to take one additional twist to the left that I'm not otherwise expecting. That's the H and Megan pattern.
Yep. Now let's see that these are absolutely going to be bombs.
By opening them over on 68.
With a rearrangement of the circuit boards in the control panel, you reverse the polarity of your ship. That little trick almost sends you hurtling into subspace, but it breaks the security seal on the drums. In the first drum, you find a year's supply of Choco Raspberry lunch meat. This used to be a very popular lunch treat, okay? Kids loved it because it was sweet, and adults bought it because it had lots of protein. No. But scientists discover that if you ate it, it ate you. After 600 sandwiches of the stuff, your stomach looked like Swiss cheese. The next drum is worse. It contains Zeppon gas headlights. They're much brighter than normal, but they break in a crash. If they break in a crash, the Zeppon gas destroys all plant and small animal life within a 50-mile radius. Okay. You also discover eardrum radios, acid underwear. Okay, let's put it in that.
What?
Fluorocarbon flashlights, brainwave blocker diet pills, and some well-known but completely hideous gadgets, such as a 10-megaton exploding cigar and the Laser Joy buzzer. Acid underwear?
Yeah, I did. Look, the rest that of made these, it to market. I can see what you were going for. Acid underwear? You started with a bad idea.
That made it to market at all? That is... Wow.
It's edible underwear for the person who likes the sour and spicy palate at the same time. Good lord.
For when the enemy who eats your shorts, you want them dead. Anyways, all of this junk has two things in common. It's all made on the planet Japan, and it's completely illegal. Excuse me? Okay. If you want to dump the drums into space, turn to page 23... If you want to try Choco Raspberry lunch meat, take a bite on 71. We were just told it eats us.
Rito.
Yeah, I will.
Rito, I'm so curious.
Don't mind if I do. 71.
I don't... It might just be because I don't really love chocolate at all, but if I will have chocolate, it is often with raspberry. I love that combination. I don't know why, but I really want it. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to eat 600 sandwiches and stuff. It can have a little numble away at my stomach lining. If I only have one sandwich of it, I imagine that my healing factor internal can outpace the effects of that baloney.
Yeah, let's find out. As you break the seal on the package of Choco Raspberry Lunch Meat, you think to yourself, You think in your own voice.
600 sandwiches can kill you, but one little bite can't hurt.
Besides, you've been curious about this stuff for years. Your first big bite tells you it's everything the package says it is. It's real lunch meat with 95% of all of the proteins and vitamins you could ask for. Okay. And it tastes exactly like a chocolate raspberry milkshake. It's also something else the package says it is. Out of date. But you didn't look close enough to see that. The expiration date was 2 years ago, and the dangerous effects have accelerated 200 times. Suddenly, you don't feel very well. Still, 200 times. You need 600 sandwiches, and we had one bite. The math doesn't add up.
I'm not going to have three sandwiches.
Fine. Yeah. You'd like to take the meat out of your mouth, but you can't. The first thing the stuff does is seal your mouth shut. The things start to get really strange from there. From there? Your body starts to change. When it's over, an hour later, you are a tall, stocky, green and purple plant packed with vitamins whose leaves smell like chocolate raspberry milkshake. The end.
Good ending. We get to become a tree.
This did not happen to anybody else. Why? The 200 times
it's
accelerated
only when it goes
effect,
off it does this.
The 200% accelerated or 200 times accelerated effect of giving you ulcers is turning into a chocolate raspberry milkshake tree.
Yeah, the ulcer is actually just a little wood knot that you're starting to form in your stomach.
They just didn't understand it yet because they were too dead about it. 23 instead.
This is deciding to hop into a barrel, I believe?
I think it's getting rid of them. Getting rid of the barrels. Turning this garbage into space trash is against the law, but it's the only way you can think to get rid of it once and for all. So you program a robot. What? To carry all the drums to the dumpster hatch. Then you push the eject button, but nothing happens. The chute is probably jammed, you decide. You have to climb in to inspect the hatch, hoping that it doesn't fix itself while you're in there. You climb out quickly and try the button again. Nothing doing. I've never heard
nothing
this.
Nothing doing.
Nothing doing.
I've heard that as a phrase before. Like, nothing is occurring as a result of this. Nothing
yeah,
doing.
I mean, like, I can piece it together, but I've also, hearing it for the first time feels like a mistake. Mm-hmm. Nothing doing. What's going on? Suddenly a voice breaks into your spaceship's spacecom system.
This is the police. Do not attempt to remove any evidence. We have electronically sealed your craft. You cannot escape.
Says the mechanical voice. 2 minutes later, your spaceship is bursting with Intergalactic Council police and police robots. Two of the robots lift you off the ground and hold you there, while the other police officers go through the drums in the dumpster hatch. Then a police robot captain wheels over to you and says,
you're under arrest for smuggling and trafficking in illegal merchandise. I'm gonna make sure you stay in jail until you rust.
Go to page 47. You try and explain how you got stuck with all the black market merchandise, but the police put a small electrode in the back of your neck, and suddenly you can't say a word.
Cuff him,
the robot captain says, and they put special shoes on your feet. Every time you take a step in these shoes, you get a small electric shock. The harder you step down, the stronger the shock. You probably fry yourself if you try to run. Quick, tiptoe fast to page 92. At the police satellite, the robots stuff you into an interrogation room. A guard robot's head swivels back and forth, watching as you pace in the little cube. Finally, a human detective comes in.
This is a mistake,
you say.
I wasn't supposed to be on that spaceship.
The detective leans over at you menacingly.
That's not the answer I wanted to hear.
Could you, confess, please, and say I'm doing a good job?
Can I have a pat on the head afterwards?
Can you tell me I'm doing a good detective job, and I ask good questions and catch the criminals, please?
Now, when I recommend that you get executed, could I ask you to leave me a 5-star review?
Preferably the electric laser chair, she says.
5 days in the Silent Dome for you, and then we'll have another chat.
You're thrown into the Silent Dome, an unlighted room with thick padded walls and ceilings. Every sound in the room is completely absorbed. You can't hear yourself move or breathe or scream. 5 days in here? You'll be lucky if you last 5 hours. If you want to try and escape, page 58. Otherwise, if you don't want to, page 62. Wait. Have we ever gotten the option to just be in jail? To just...
It's say, you're all fussed about escaping.
Can we?
Yeah. We don't want to escape on page 62.
Let's see what it's like to just give in to being in jail. Here's a list of the things you do to keep from going nuts during your 5 days in the Silent Dome. You can read this out.
Walk. Dance. Give names to your fingernails. Think about the sound of one hand clapping. Qualify for the Guinness Book of Galactic Records by singing 1 million bottles of beer on the wall. Invent a way to teach word processing to otters. Play charades. Think about discussing sandwiches. Raw beef, jello, tomato, or 9-grain bread wins. Try not to think about discussing sandwiches. Play tic-tac-toe with your real toes. Decide that you're really a flashlight. Uh-oh. Maybe these techniques aren't working as well as you thought.
Go to page 13.
You're not a flashlight. You're a human being.
A policeman yells, trying to snap you out of it.
Don't say that.
Another policeman says,
I'm still writing my report and I need the extra light. Listen to me.
The first policeman says, shaking you a little,
you've survived the Silent Dome and we now believe you're innocent. We need your help in capturing the leaders of the black market.
You're still pretty groggy, but finally you ask,
What do you want me to do?
We want you to deliver the shipment to the planned destination.
The police tell you.
What do you say?
I'll need backup support.
You say.
We'll be in a spaceship right behind you.
They say.
I need to call my aunt and tell her where I am.
You say.
You can use a space com immediately.
They say.
And I'll need a new bulb and plenty of D batteries.
You say.
Uh-oh.
They say.
Maybe you need a little more rest first.
That is the most you say they say that we've ever had. Mm-hmm. I think it was, I do think it was like on purpose. I think they were trying to set up the comedic back and forth.
Yep.
With the I still think I'm a flashlight reveal. So I give them a pass because I do think it was on purpose. Like, they say, you say, you know, mm-hmm. I've done that. If you think you can make the delivery by yourself, go to page 21. If you want a robot partner, go to page 27.
I'm leaning 21.
You're flying the spaceship over a desert and towards a mountain. This is where the navigation computer says the black market delivery is to be made. Before you climb into the spaceship, you check in with the police again.
We're right behind you.
They say, although they're nowhere in sight.
Just get the guy to talk about what it is he does with the stuff and who sends it to him. If there's any trouble, just shout into your throat com.
So, would you say that what you do is illegal?
And who do you purchase your illegal goods from?
Are you a bad boy?
How would I best prosecute you?
What are your weaknesses? Anyways, a minute later, you're standing in front of the ID camera outside a large all plexiglass house.
I have a shipment for you.
You say? By the time you bring in all the cargo units, a man has appeared at the door. How could you not see him? It was all... Anyways. A man has appeared at the door.
So, you know, just wondering. So what do you want with all this stuff?
You ask, trying to sound casual. Instead of answering, the man asks you a question.
How do you know what's in here? You were instructed not to look.
The man suddenly pushes you inside and seals the front door.
Sometimes... what you do know can hurt you.
The man says. He pulls out a torque knife from inside his stomach.
Okay.
Okay. And pushes you towards the interior of his house.
You can scream as loud as you want, as loud and long as you want. No one will be able to hear you in here.
He warns. Go to page 54. But they sure can see you. It's an absolute nightmare to get dressed.
And I can't judge anyone.
Why do you deal in all this junk?
You ask again, hoping the police can still hear.
I never sell it to anyone who deserves to live.
The man explains.
But as for the others, they want it so much that they'll pay the kinds of prices that I charge. Who am I to tell them, though?
You glare at each other.
Just think of it this way.
He tries again.
If I can eliminate one half of all the fools who live in this world, then the world is a better place to live in by one half.
God, okay, Thanos.
You... just think of it this way.
You say?
You're a greedy murderer.
Yeah, I've made a profit from murder, but yours will be just for the sheer pleasure of it.
Yeah, I may be a greedy murderer, but I'm also just a murderer.
I murder for other reasons.
I murder for fun. How dare you judge what I do for work?
I can take multitudes.
I am a full, diverse, varied interest man. I like murder and different type of murder, he says, pulling a knife out of his stomach. Anyways, he says, raising the knife. Suddenly, the plastic walls around you glow red and then drip down into large wet puddles. The man looks confused for a second.
The police? You little rodent. Well, you'll go first.
He says politely and flips the switch on the knife. But the weapon never fires. The man is hit with beams of light from all sides. He glows red, then yellow, and a second later, he's not standing there because he doesn't exist. Go to page 76.
He got unexisted.
Seconds later, the police rush in from everywhere, to save you. Although they couldn't capture the man alive. And they they really tried.
They didn't. They didn't catch him alive.
I wouldn't
the
use
best we
the
can say.
Word couldn't.
Which page are we on, sorry?
76.
I had to re-borrow the book. Yes, there we go.
Although they wouldn't capture the man alive, they find his bookkeeping discs and all the evidence they need to put an end to the smuggling setup. Later, back at the police satellite, the Intergalactic Council gives you an award for outstanding service and superior standards and understanding. I wish I would get an award for superior standards and understanding.
Yeah, like anything that says, yep, you got it, you understood.
I want that at the end of every sentence, like, yeah, you understood everything I said. We get it. We understand. No, you did nothing wrong in this conversation. I do feel like you understood what I meant, and I understood what you meant. Here's a medal. And then arranges for a special ship to take you back to your own planet, where you receive a hero's welcome in a Starfleet parade. The end. Wow.
Woo!
Good end.
A very good end.
Indeed, indeed. I am very curious about the other
route
here.
As to if we brought the police on us? Oh, if we went to Vertigo 5, you mean?
No, 27, which is... Oh, if you want a robot partner.
Yes.
That's
yeah, I'm more than happy.
Let's give that a run, even though this was... I'd say that that's the canonical end. We're good with that, unless this one's better, but that one's pretty darn good.
If the customer asks, you came along to do the heavy work.
You tell the police robot partner that's been assigned to you.
Don't worry, I don't think the customer will ask anything about me.
The robot replies. The delivery coordinates and the navigation computer bring you to a house on a mountaintop on the planet Gemini. A kindly old woman answers the door and with a surprised look at the robot says,
Oh, I didn't expect to see you.
I'm the new delivery person.
You say,
Greystock is hiring them young these days, isn't he?
She says,
So that's the name of the man who sent me!
You say?
My, my. You mean you don't even know the name of the man who was responsible for ordering your death?
She says.
Grab the little idiot, Roger.
Go to page 93.
Also, trying to be subtle and figure out the name of your employer, like, So that's the name!
Ah, a confession! Oh, shoot. I don't want to tell you that. I get it. I know what I'm supposed to do now. Suddenly, your robot partner grabs you by the throat. Its skin feels soft, but you can soon feel the steel under the skin as the robot begins to squeeze. Why do they put skin on the robot?
You're still working for them?
You gasp while you still can.
Not even a robot can make ends meet on the salary the police pay. And Mr. Gravestock's smuggling operation pays me well to keep fools like you from messing it up.
The robot says. At least you get a full explanation before you die. The end.
Yeah, the other one's the canonical ending.
Yeah, that's also one of the most blunt, like, we don't often get told just straight up that you die. Like, there's usually a little bit to the imagination, but this says no. You get a full explanation and then you die. It's like, there is no... At least we get a full explanation about the death. I loved it. I loved it, no notes.
Great book.
I loved it, no notes. No notes. At all. It's perfect, and I loved it. This might be one of my favorites. So... It just is so off the wall so fast. So fast. Yep. And... it's genuinely... My face does hurt from laughing at this one.
Page 2, so page 1, the first page, right, actually has,
We've got Lethal Dropons, a Zorga yes. rocket. We've got 3D Zorga Adventures vid screen game. We've got the Tarnoid Attack. We've got Fleet Scooters and Space Dust. We've got Aunt Doro and the Laser Piano. We've got the fourth unit robot that is sent out to drag people home so they can go to their laser piano lessons. Cargo Unit Space Raiders. Okay, those are more standard. A Data Nord.
It tells
a freighter that will only take off when you get on board, and then as soon as you get on board, you're whisked into space. This is like coherent, but this is Tongs.
This is coherent Tongs is what this would be. What a treat! What a blessing! What a treat that this has been bestowed upon us, gifted an honor, an absolute joy, one of life's few reasons to go on is this book, this magical, beautiful book.
I can't believe I was going on without knowing about this book. Now it will comprise 33% of the reason I'm still around.
I've found a new devotion. It's this book. I've seen the light. Everything else matters just a little bit less to me now, except for this book, which has really climbed the rankings fast from not to yes.
Life is not about the destination of Vertigo 5. Life is about the journey to Vertigo 5.
Exactly. Thank you, Megan Stein and H. William Stein. Thank you so much. Can you have more thoughts about this book?
Not at all, but in the vein of thanking people, I certainly have an additional thought, which is thanks to the executive producer of this episode over on patreon.com/turntopagecast. And that is Katrina. Much appreciated, Katrina, for supporting over there at hardcover or above. The executive producers are chosen from there, but much appreciation, of course, to each and every person who supports the channel via that method or any other one. Rita, would you like to tell us a little about the other ways they can do that?
I do, but first, a thank you from me as well to Katrina. Huge thank you, huge thank you. If you want to help support the podcast in a nice, clean, free way, you can leave a little review on wherever you listen to it, if it has such a thing. Or you could hop on over to youtube.com/@turntopagecast, do a little subscribe over there, a little like on the videos, possibly a little comments on the videos. If you have something to say, this one sure has things to say about it. So I do expect we may see some lovely people down in the comments there if you want to join them, have a little discussion, have a little... If you partook in this as well and just need to vent about it, that will be the place to go. If you want to privately vent about it, you can go to turntopagecast@gmail.com. You can't go there. It's not an address. It's not a URL, but you can send an email there, and we'll get it. And maybe we'll read it. Maybe we'll read about it or even read it. This book has done something to my brain, and it is time to go. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Adios.